Hello, my name is Price Van Ray. I'm a divorced single dad, father of five kids. Welcome to my show. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, family and friends. So, as you can see, I have an older daughter. She's walking around here in the background because she does her own stuff, too. She's actually in social media, but I don't know the name, but if I find out, I'll let you know. Anyways, today we are going to talk about how parents can and do and will make mistakes. If you're a parent, you're out of your mind if you don't think you're never going to make not one mistake. It's just inevitable. It's inevitable. So, you know, we're going to just jump to it. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Today is the start of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah to everybody. And Christmas is in a few weeks. So that being said, I hope everybody's got their Christmas shopping done. Because you had a whole year to think about it. This is what I tell my kids. You had a whole year to think about what you were going to get me. So don't bring me a bag of gummy bears. Okay, I'm not going to lie. I love gummy bears. Anyways, here's a little thought of the day. Why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side? Well, that's like a running joke when you're a kid. Everybody says that joke. But the bottom line is, why do you do things? You do it to get to the other side. It's a fact. When you get up in the morning, you do it to have a productive day. When you eat to get full. I mean, you're always going to do something. There's always an action and a reaction. So if you're going to do something in life, and you tell your kids, if you're going to do something, do it. Just don't sit there. You know, the chicken crossed the road because it did not want to sit there. It did not want to be stagnated. It wanted to go somewhere. And that in life is pretty much what we all want to do. We want to go somewhere. I would think we'd want to go somewhere. But you know what? Who am I to say? Some people are just happy being where they are. I'll give you an example. My dad, he's from Mississippi. Well, when he was alive, he used to just love sitting on the porch. Loved it. I'd sit out there with him. I'm like, what is he doing? He's just sitting here. But, you know, to him, that was peaceful. It was relaxing, and he loved it. And I can't knock him for it because we all do things that make us happy. And I guess that's his thing. His thing, my aunt's thing, my uncle's thing. But that being said, we're going to get to the topic of our show. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. It's a very important topic. To me, it's very important because the bottom line is, you know, being a parent really does not come with an official book. It doesn't, you know, some people can say, I'm going to buy parenting books and they're going to tell me everything I need to know about being a parent. But it's not how it works. It's really not how it works. It's trial and error. It's your own experiences. It's what you agree with when you were growing up, what you don't agree with. You have to make a decision. You have to make choices. You have to say, my parents did this when I was growing up. I disagree with it, so I'm going to try something different. And you know what? If that doesn't work, then I'll tell my child, this is what how I raised you. You know this. This is how my parents raised me. And I'm going to, you know, you could take it for what it's worth. You can raise your kid this way, that way, or incorporate your own experiences. Now, I'm not going to say buying a book is the worst thing in the world because it's not. A lot of you know I'm an artist, so when you do art, and if you're a doctor, a lawyer, you are going to use books to learn. So books are, you can learn from books. You can get some advice. You have friends. They give you advice, and that's good. You know, it's good when you can get advice, and you can agree or disagree with it. So I'm going to be honest with you. Some people have given me advice, my parents, when I was raising my kids, and I took it or I didn't take it. I'd probably say there are some things I wish I had listened to and some things I didn't listen to. But I think my kids grew up pretty good. My youngest one is 19. My oldest one, I believe she's 27 or 28. But if you're watching this on video, you'll see her walking in the background because this is the living room is my studio. The living room is my kingdom. My kingdom come. So I'm going to tell you there are mistakes. And you, when you're a parent, if you think you are never going to make a mistake, you're out of your mind. You're crazy because it's something new and it's something you have to learn as well. I mean, as long as you're not like a dingbat and, you know, you don't want to do things to harm the kid. If you have some common sense, it's great, you know, perfect. That being said, I will tell you this. What are the biggest mistakes parents make? And this isn't, I mean, there's like a lot of them. There's probably hundreds of them. But in the span of our time, we can only do what we're going to do. So even though parents wish for their children as human beings to be perfect, people can make mistakes from time to time. It can influence the growth and development and behavior and characteristics of your child. So you have to keep that into account. Now, overestimating or underestimating the problem before trying to solve the problem, you know, that can be a mistake. Let's say, you know, your kid wants, you want your child to walk. Well, you don't want them to walk before they can walk. You know, you have to be with your kid, make sure, hey, this is what's going on. You know, and of course, babies can't talk. So you're going to have to watch them. You want to make sure they grow at their own level. This is definitely true. And another thing is you have to, you know, some parents have unrealistic expectations. Now, let me tell you, it is quite natural to want your child to aim for big goals and be the best at everything, but setting the bar too high, that can lead to self-esteem and confidence issues later on in life. You can't tell your child, you should be getting straight A's. Why aren't you getting straight A's? This is insane. Do your homework, do your work. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. My younger sister, we're Irish twins born in the same year, so I call her my twin sister. She, in school, she was a great student. She was always, you know, she'd get A's. Me, on the other hand, I'd get C's and D's. And I'm not going to say I wasn't trying. I was trying. But sometimes you could try your best, and that's all the best you can do. So, you know, you can't sit there and say, hey, you should be this, because everybody can't be a doctor. Everybody can't be a lawyer. You got to have a great memory for something like that. You got to be at the top of your game. And there's different levels of learning. People learn differently. So that's one thing. Also, I'm going to tell you, my dad always wanted me to play baseball. And those who know me know I'm not really into sports. So I'm not really a great athlete. I mean, I'm going to say I like to play basketball. I like to dabble in baseball, but I'm not really into sports like that. Except for like the final seasons, the Rose Bowl, you know, the World Series. Of course, I like that. That's pretty exciting. But I mean, during the year, I'm not really into sports like that. And great if my dad wants to do that. But listen, guys, don't make the mistake of living your life through your child's kid, through your child. Because the bottom line is, you could say, oh, I want my child to be a doctor like me. And maybe your kid's not going to be a doctor. Remember, you cannot fit your foot into your child's shoes. And your child can't fit their foot into your shoes. They have to walk their own path. They have to do their own thing. And you have to support it. That's the bottom line. I'm an artist. I write children's books. I would say I'd love for my kids to do the same thing. But my kids are different. They're all different. My oldest child, she loves social media. My second child, she loves music and all that stuff. My third child, let me see. I got to think here. My son, he likes video games. Now, I may say, come on, you can't make a living doing that, but apparently you can. You can make a living doing video games, and that's cool. You know, if that's what you want to do, then that's what you do. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. At my job, there's this guy, he plays video games, and he was showing me online how people do the green screen thing, and they get all these followers, and I guess they get paid. They can make a living. So you can make a living doing that. So you got to support your child. You just got to support him. But I'll tell you this, no involvement in the child's life, oh, that's not good. The consequences of giving a child things such as leniency, lower expectations, material possessions instead of love and care often produces a spoiled child. I'll be honest with you, I have seen I have seen these rotten little, I shouldn't say that. I should say these rotten little kids that are spoiled and feel entitled to everything in the world. You, mom, dad, you got to get me this or I'm going to scream. I'm going to smash my phone on the floor and you're going to pay for it. I'm going to tell you something. You got to be involved in your kid's life. Personally, I don't give my kids everything. In fact, we pretty much live on a poverty level. And they get upset. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'll guarantee you, they know the value of a dollar. They know the value of time. They know the value of what's important. A parent trying to be there, trying to talk to them, rather than a parent shoving a phone in their face with video games and putting them in front of a TV, letting them watch it. Bottom line is, kids need involvement with a parent. That's what they need. They definitely need. Come on, all kids want their parents to say, "Hey, you know what, child? I love you." What child wouldn't want to hear that? Children don't sit there and say, "I can't wait to wake up and have my parents say I hate you." But come on, parent, you know, kids want to hear, "I love you. You're very important to me. You are a big part of my life." That's what they crave. It's like a hunger in these kids. They want to hear something like that. So I'm gonna tell you something. You know, have reasonable expectations and be involved in your child's life. Be involved when they sit there. Be involved if they ask. My oldest daughter. She's living home right now. She just had a baby, and I try to. I'm not gonna say I'm perfect because I'm not. I try to make it clear, you know, if you need to go somewhere, you let me know. If you have to go to the store, grocery shopping, you let me know. Now, like I said, I'm not perfect. Parents make mistakes. I don't say this all the time. And I made her feel like if she asked me, I'm a burden. It's a burden to her. And I try to explain to her every day, it's not a burden. You're my child. I love you. I want to help you. I want to do something. Now, I know I got to work. But I will make time for you. You just let me know. Because, you know, in my opinion, a parent is here for you, and I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you that support. I'm here to be involved. And even at her age, 27, I believe she's 27. 27 or 20. This is a guy thing. I don't think guys, it's a guy thing. Guys are not good with keeping track of how old their kids are or numbers or anything like that. Even though, you know, we are busy, we want to be there for our kids. Now, I want to give you another thing. Here's another thing. So my mom's been here my whole life. You know, she's still alive. But I still, to this day, when I pick up her medicine, they go, "What's her birthday?" I'm like, "Oh my goodness. I should know my mom's birthday, the exact day." But it's a guy thing. It's a guy thing. All right, I don't want to be getting any hate mail saying, all right, it isn't a guy thing. Maybe it's a your thing. But listen, I know a lot of guys, a lot of my friends, I'll say, "Hey, do you know your mom's birthday?" They say, I think it's, so it's sort of a guy thing, I believe. But nothing can take the place of when you say, "I love you, honey." It's just a number. It's just a number. You know, it's the fact that I remember your face and I love you. That's what you should be concerned about. So, anyways, you have to, another mistake is when parents don't adapt to their child's needs, okay? You have to adapt them. You know, the need and expectations of children are very different as they grow up. And not keeping with your child's development can hamper their behavior. So my three girls live with me. My two boys live with their mom. But my three girls, you know, when they were growing up in their teen years, I will say, they, you know, girls grow up. They want to wear makeup. They want to dress a little more mature. I don't believe I ever really tried to hold them back except for a few things. I mean, I don't believe, you know, I think... my girl, how do I put this? I'll say, girls, let's dress a little bit more conservative. How's that? Okay, cover up a little more, this and that. But you have to understand that, you know, spaghetti straps are in. Okay. But you just have to talk to your child. And if you trust your child, you know your child. There shouldn't really be a big problem. I wasn't really against the makeup because I know girls want to be, my girls want to be, feel pretty. And they want to feel pretty. And you have to make sure your kids feel good about themselves. And they feel like they can be accepted. And they feel loved. And they feel like, yeah, my dad supports me. As long as I'm not doing wrong, I'm not doing this. My dad will sit there. My dad's got my back. And I've pretty much always had my child's back. I've always said, okay, I'll be there. I'll support you. And I do understand. Now, here's a big thing. My kids would come home from the store, and they'd have jeans. Okay, let's get this jeans things out of the way. They would wear their jeans, but they'd come home, and these jeans would be ripped. They're buying ripped jeans. And I will say I did flip. I said, what is this? What are you buying jeans with holes in them? When I was growing up, we didn't have jeans with holes in them like that. So, you know, I'm sitting there saying, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing what's going on. But they said, Dad, this is what everybody's wearing. I will say it took me a very long time to adapt to saying, okay, I understand that this is the style because now everybody wears ripped jeans. I'm going to give you an example. So yesterday, I took my daughter to the mall, and we saw Santa Claus, and I was so excited. I almost started. I think my eyes were tearing up because I was so happy to see Santa. It's been a long time since I saw Santa, and I said, "I love you, Santa," and I was talking to Santa. True story. I was very, 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 very happy. So when that happened, my daughter, she's up there and she's getting her pictures done. And I'm sitting back and I'm saying, wow, this is really cool. But you know what she wore? She wore these jeans, and I swear to God, it was like somebody took a knife and just ripped them up into shreds. But the bottom line is, that's the style. She's 27. She knows what she knows the look she's looking for. She knows what she wants to wear. And who am I to say, okay, listen, don't wear that. That's the style. That's when you have to say, okay, you know, I understand. I see where you're coming from, but you know, it's okay. If that's good for you, I'm good with it, because that's how the world is now. So that's all you can do. You got to support your kid. Constantly nagging or interviewing, kids do not. I'll be honest with you, kids don't like that. I know I didn't like it as a parent now. And I'm a son. I definitely don't like it when my mom sort of nags me. And I tell her, I say, hey, listen, I don't like being nagged. I do not. Ma, I don't like being nagged. And my kids tell me, Dad, why do you talk so mean to your mom? I try not to. And I guess maybe I get a little nag anxiety. But nagging's not good. So we have to understand that you cannot nag your child. Please don't nag your child, because kids don't want to hear that. So that being said, I'm going to have to tell you, I am going to end the show. And I hope you guys really enjoyed it. So Usually I have a short story, but today I unfortunately don't have a really, really, really short story. But I will say this: a lot of people do love a lot of the short stories that I talk about, and I just want to say thank you guys, because I know how it is in life. Everybody communicates, in my opinion, they communicate through stories, because it helps the imagination. It's a good way to connect with your child. And I remember when I was a kid, before I went to bed, my dad would always, you know, my mom or dad, they'd always try to sit there with these little books, and they'd say, hey, this tonight we're going to read a short story, and this is how it goes. And they would tuck me in at night, and they'd say, I love you, and blah, blah, blah. And it was really cool. So if I were to tell you a story now, I remember the story of the gingerbread man. You know, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. And I really don't know if nowadays people really know a lot of those old stories. Those are stories, in my opinion, that were really great when you grow up and you sit there and say, hey, when I was a kid, my parents read me this story. I can actually tell you a little bit about it. So the gingerbread man, here we go. Once upon a time, there was a little old woman and a little old man who lived in a little cottage near the river. The old woman and the little old man were hungry, so the little old woman decided to bake a gingerbread man. She made a big batch of gingerbread dough, then rolled it flat and cut it into shapes of the gingerbread man. She gave him raisins for eyes and cinnamon drops for the mouth, a chocolate chip for the buttons. Then she put the gingerbread man in the oven to bake. When the gingerbread man was done, the little old woman opened up the oven door, but before she could take him out, the gingerbread man jumped up and ran through the kitchen and out of the cottage, shouting, "Don't eat me! Don't eat me!" The little woman ran after the gingerbread man. "Stop!" she yelled. But the gingerbread man ran even faster, chanting, "Run, run as fast as you can! You can't catch me! I'm the gingerbread man!" The gingerbread man ran into the garden and passed the little old woman. "Stop!" the little old man called out. "I want to eat you." But the gingerbread man ran even faster, chanting, "I've run away from a little old woman, and I can run away from you. I can. Run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me because I am the gingerbread man." The little old man chased the gingerbread man, followed by the little old woman, but the gingerbread man ran too fast for them. The gingerbread man ran through the yard and passed the pig. "Stop!" the pig snorted. "I want to eat you." But the gingerbread man ran even faster, chanting, "I've run from a little old woman, a little old man, and I can run away from you. I can. Run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me because I'm the gingerbread man." The pig chased the gingerbread man, followed by the little old woman and the little old man, but the gingerbread man ran faster and faster. Soon, halfway across the river, the fox barked, You're a gingerbread man, but I want to eat you." The gingerbread man said, "No." But the gingerbread man reached a wide river and didn't know how to swim. And the sly fox saw the gingerbread man, talked to him, and said, "Listen, jump on my tail and I'll take you across the river." The gingerbread man thought to himself, "I'll be safe on his tail." So he jumped on the fox's tail and they started across the river. Halfway across the river, the fox barked, "You're too heavy for my tail. Jump on my back." So the gingerbread man jumped on the fox's back. Soon the fox said, "You're too heavy for my back. Jump onto my nose." So the gingerbread man jumped on the fox's nose. But as soon as they reached the riverbank, the fox flipped the gingerbread man into the air, snapped his mouth shut, and ate the gingerbread man. At the end, the gingerbread man was no more. And that was the end of the gingerbread man. I hope you like that story. These are, like I said, little stories my parents would read to me. And maybe you could read some of these old fables to your children. In fact, maybe I'll start reading a lot of these old fables just so people can remember them. Because there's so many of them. I don't think people do remember all these old fables. Anyways, I want to thank you for joining me here today. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can download any of my podcasts morning, noon, and night and hear it all over the internet. It would be great if you could hear what I have to say. So that being said, brings us to the end of the show. I want to thank all of you for listening today. It's been great. And don't forget to be nice and talk nice to everybody. Don't be a jerk. And remember this one last bit of advice. Tomorrow is never promised. So don't go to bed angry at your child or anyone you love. And before you go to bed tonight, hug your child and tell them, I will love you forever, Dad. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me here today. Let's do it again. I'll see you next time here on my show. Be well, be kind, be back. Peace. And I will see you later. Have a good one.